Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with a former member of the Armed Forces to learn about what they do now in their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and any advice they'd give to someone else who wants to pursue that as a career path. My guest today for episode number 165 is Chris Antonoff.
Most jobs are not rocket science. You know, you don't need to be that technically adept. If you go out of the military with the right mindset and, you know, your head on straight, you know, you can figure anything out. You know, you're giving a mission and a task, just like in the military, you're going to figure it out if you care enough to do it. And that's what I found out in the civilian world. If you find an industry that you're passionate about and that you feel, that you're getting value and you're bringing value to the mission, I think that any veteran, regardless of what their job was in the military, could be successful.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Heidi Van Petersen from SaluteColorado.org for introducing me to Chris. This is a great episode for those of you thinking about real estate because it's a very different aspect of real estate, one that I'm not as familiar with. I think most people on active duty hear real estate, they think of buying a house, they think of selling a house, but what Chris does is real estate development. He does a great job of talking about the 3 to 4 year process that this entails of finding land, buying land, designing a building, building the building, and then finding offices or other tenants to occupy that building. One of the things I think that's really great about this interview is that Chris breaks this down in a way where you really understand the project management skill that's not only used in this career path, but that we all have from our military experience. He talks about work-life balance. He talks about some things that I think are applicable to any career path, such as self-knowledge, the reserves, and why that might be something to consider. And so whether or not you're interested in real estate, I think this is a great interview to listen to. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you'll find show notes. You'll find links to everything we talk about, including some great books and podcasts that Chris recommends. You'll also find our new website. I know that at this point with 165 interviews, it can be difficult to know where to start. Well, there is a where to start section on this new website. You can also find by different industry and functional roles, interviews, the top interviews related to each of those. So if you are in an exploration phase and considering lots of different career paths, this is a great way to just kind of dabble to get a little taste of what each career looks like from a variety of different perspectives from veterans. So with that, let's dive in to my interview with Chris Antonoff. Joining me today in Boulder, Colorado is Chris Antonoff. Chris, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks, Justin. Great to be here.
So I wanted to give listeners a quick background. Chris is the Director of Development at Morgan Creek Ventures, which is a boutique real estate development firm that's focused on leading-edge approaches to sustainability and building design. Their real estate portfolio ranges from offices and mixed-use redevelopment to ground-up residential and preservation communities. Chris started out in the Marine Corps, where he served for 11 years in a mix of active duty and reserves. And so, Chris, maybe to start things off, I understood a part of what I just read about Morgan Creek Ventures, but could you explain, you know, just to maybe someone who's on active duty, who has no clue about real estate, what is it that Morgan Creek Ventures does?
Well, Justin, great question. So first and foremost, you know, for someone coming off active duty, Morgan Creek Ventures is a little bit different than the traditional developer, with the developer being, you know, you manage ground up construction or renovation projects of buildings, and you basically lead that team with the construction contractors, the architects, and also the financing and marketing aspects of buildings. Something that from active duty, you know, being in a mission-driven type organizations, I think the differentiating factor for Morgan Creek Ventures is that we are a mission-driven company. We are very focused on incorporating sustainability and renewable energy in all of our projects. So that is something that really appealed to me with that company compared to other real estate developers and other real estate type companies.
And when you say, you know, that it's office and mixed use redevelopment, so that means you're building both you know, offices but also apartments, is that right?
No, with our current project, Boulder Commons, which is located in East Central Boulder, we have two buildings. They're both four stories, and the first story is primarily retail, while the second, third, and fourth floors are kind of traditional office. So that's what we really mean by mix. And when it comes to residential, for example, you can have a apartment building, and this is becoming more common in kind of urban core areas in America, where you would have a ground floor retail component, and then the upper floors are going to be residential. So that's kind of what's meant by mixed use.
Okay, great, great. And what does it mean when you're a director of development, what does that translate to? What sort of things do you do?
I basically run day-to-day operations in the company, in our projects. I oversee our projects, and we have other associates that are a little bit more hands-on with them, and I basically am kind of like their direct supervisor and more of the bigger picture project management aspect. Looking forward with my boss, Andy Bush, who is the principal and owner of the company, and kind of setting us up for success middle and long-term with our projects. So those are kind of my primary focuses.
So does this then, you know, for real estate development, I'm just guessing, and correct me on the piece that I'm wrong, I'm guessing that in general for real estate development, it starts as early as buying land and then finding people to build something on that land and then finding who's going to rent and occupy that building once it's built. Is that kind of the broad strokes of this?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you're taking it, it depends on the development. Sometimes you're going to have an existing building that you're going to renovate and make it better and capture that value through increased rents. But in our current projects, you know, my experience with the company has been really from the ground development of new buildings. So that absolutely involves, you know, buying the land, you know, finding the site, finding the right market that you want to develop in and put in new buildings. And once you have that, finding the right opportunity, going through negotiations to buy the land. And then from there, you start, you know, really working with a design and development team, which, you know, involves the architects to really come up with a great product that can be approved by the city, and going through city permits and working with the local government to really get a building that fits with their vision of their community is extremely important, and working with, you know, citizens as well, the local community, to get people on board with the project. And then working with a general contractor for construction to come up with, you know, schedule, a plan, a budget for the project. And then from there, once the building is approved, you have a building permit from the city, then you do the construction. And that involves, obviously, the general contractor, but also, you know, as a developer, you're a project management kind of central spoke in the whole wheel of the development team. So you pretty much manage the architect and the construction, and as well as the financing in order to get the capital you need to do the day-to-day construction operations that you need to do. And you're kind of the central, you're the central person dealing with all that. And from there, you know, once you get to a certain point, you know, you start a leasing process, which is you're working with real estate brokers to market the building and find tenants for it and start signing leases. And, you know, at the same time, then you're working with the banks to get permanent financing for this project and working the whole time with your investors. You know, the investor relations are a huge part of the whole process. because the investors tend to contribute the majority of the capital. And also they kind of set a lot of parameters and what they're willing to approve when it comes to both the building design, the kind of tenants you're putting in, the kind of budget you have. It's a process. It's a multi-year process for building, you know, especially a high quality office or apartment building. From beginning to end, it could take anywhere between 3 to 4 years before a project goes from concept to a fully leased operating building.
That's great. It's I'm just imagining that most listeners, they have context for either HGTV or having purchased a house. And I imagine when they think of real estate, they're thinking more of that real estate agent or real estate broker, the process of finding a place to live or finding a place to buy. But what sounds really interesting about real estate development and the work that you're doing is the amount of variety where it's not just finding a tenant for a property or for an office, you're finding the land, you're financing it, you're figuring out the deal structure, you're doing the design. I mean, there's so much variety, it sounds like, in what you're doing that must, I imagine that makes it fairly interesting from a day-to-day standpoint.
Absolutely. I mean, I was a logistics officer in the Marine Corps. So project management was a huge part of what I did. And so when I transitioned to the civilian world and started my MBA with the mentality of, you know, being a manager and managing people and, being a captain and an officer, that's just kind of the mentality that was ingrained in me in the military. So, and also I wanted to do something that, you know, there was mission driven, there had to be a mission about it. And I think a lot of veterans, you know, crave that when they leave the military and they look for civilian employment. So therefore, I was interested in renewable energy and kind of explored that industry and really quickly realized that when it comes to real estate, and especially real estate development, especially if you have kind of a sustainability focus in your company, that is the best way to actually deploy renewable energy resources in the real world using buildings. And at the same time, it is varsity level project management. There are just so many moving pieces and team building and planning involved in logistics. So really, you know, it felt like a great, great fit for me when it comes to the things that I was kind of looking for and the strengths that I developed in the military to really be able to deploy them and, you know, make an immediate impact in a positive way in a civilian career. So
that's great. And I appreciate your pointing out about the mission driven aspect. I think that that's definitely true from my experience in these interviews, but also I appreciate how you're pointing out that I imagine for most veterans, you know, my experience was like this as well. A fair bit of our work, regardless, you know, I was on submarines, you were in the Marines. I think most veterans have a lot of experience in project management, making sure the trains are arriving on time and overseeing lots of different employees, you know, just to use a civilian term of doing different things. You're kind of making sure they're all coordinating to get everything done on time. And I love that you found a career path that takes advantage of that. It takes your extensive experience in project management, project planning, and of course what you're doing is different in the Marine Corps, but a lot of the skills that you developed help you in that role. Is that fair to say?
That is absolutely fair to say. I mean, looking back at my military experience, really the intangible skills that I got that really any service member, you know, if they want to get them and ingrain them in them, they will, because the military offers that to you in spades. The discipline, the attention to detail, the communication skills, really working with people and developing teams and understanding, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of different people and, you know, being timely and efficient and professional, all these things have been really what has set me up for success. I mean, like with the military and with the civilian world, you know, I mean, most jobs are not rocket science. You know, you don't need to be that technically adept. You know, if you go out of the military with the right mindset and, you know, your head on straight, you know, you can figure anything out. You know, you're giving a mission and a task, just like in the military, you're going to figure it out if you care enough to do it. And that's what I found out in the civilian world. If you find an industry that you're passionate about and that you feel, you know, that you know, you're getting value and you're bringing value to the mission, I think that any veteran, regardless of what their job was in the military, could be successful. Because really, whether you're a logistics guy, an infantry guy, a technician, you know, you get things done. And that's what really is the most valuable skill overall in real estate development, in my opinion.
That's great. I love that attitude. And I think that that's very true. And I think that some of the core attributes that people obtain in the military is that discipline, attention to detail, work ethic, integrity. There's so many things, whether or not listeners realize that, like the time in active duty is really refining all of these skills. And then I love taking that discipline and that focus, and like you said, applying it to whatever career path. And there's always going to be some sort of steep learning curve. But if you go into it realizing like, hey, this will be tough to learn a new industry, or it'll be tough to learn real estate development, but I have that discipline to be able to do it, I think that's exciting, because that allows a veteran to pursue any career path. And I think you're a great example of that, because there's, you know, the functional knowledge I'm imagining you had to use in real estate development was completely new, but you just applied that discipline and work ethic to figure it out and to get the job you wanted.
Yeah. No, it is new, but it isn't in some ways as well, because you are dealing, when you build a building, you're dealing with very similar things that you do in the military, because you are dealing with people, with teams, you're dealing with timelines that you need to hit certain milestones in order to accomplish the overall mission, which is to construct the building and have it operational. And, you know, you're planning, you are delegating, you are, basically putting the right people in the right positions and using your technical experts, you know, to get things done. I did this when I was a logistics officer. You know, as an officer, I think in any branch, you're kind of almost a jack of all trades, master of none, and you have your very experienced enlisted guys that really are technically the most proficient ones that you rely on to make your vision and your plan a reality. And that is something that I've completely seen, you know, on the development side, where, you know, I've never done construction in my life, and there's construction experts, there's architectural design experts, and really it's more a matter of giving them the right guidance and the right kind of lead and leadership and communication in order to help them be successful. And so therefore, I think it's, you know, yeah, there's of course a lot of technical things about construction that is different than Marine Corps logistics, but really it's one of those things where if you have the inherent management skills down, you can successfully get projects off the ground and rely on the right people to help you do that. So
that's great. And you know, maybe to expand on that, I know that listeners really appreciate the nitty-gritty of what your life is like. And so could you maybe start by taking us through what an average day looks like, especially if you're open to sharing kind of hours at which things are occurring and kind of what you do throughout the day. But I'd also like to expand that into kind of just what your work-life balance is like, if you're working on the weekends and nights. And I know that's kind of the most common questions that I get from listeners.
Well, I will tell you that 99% of the time I work 8 to 5, Monday to Friday. Nothing's really required to be done in the evenings or on the weekends. I usually have, I have about an hour break in the middle of the day, and I use that as I choose. I come in at 8. My tasks vary from day to day. It's very kind of project driven and what stage we are in the project. But, Excel is definitely a program that I use a lot to model and to understand if things make sense as we're trying to make decisions. So building Excel models is a big part of my day. Meetings are another one where, just coordinating things, getting everybody on the same page and going forward and meeting milestones are definitely a big part of what I do. Another part is professional development for our associates. So I have put together a professional development program that involves both Excel classes as well as kind of mentorship and career guidance. So that is something kind of more on a weekly basis, not on a daily basis, but that's something that we do. And really, putting together, editing other people's products, be it written, be it PowerPoint, be it Excel, and giving them feedback on that. Is a big part of it. I tour our projects almost on a daily basis and kind of just talk with the construction guys, who a lot of them are veterans. They definitely, that straight talk and kind of just figuring things out and making smart decisions and not making it all flowery is great. That working with that industry really reminds me of when I was at a Marine Corps Infantry Battalion and how kind of people relate to each other and how they work together. So that's been pretty refreshing. Besides that, I have kind of strategic conversations with my boss, kind of understanding his guidance, understanding his intent of what he wants to get accomplished. That is almost on a daily basis occurrence. And just really, really long story short, it's management is what I do pretty much from 8 to 5, Monday to Friday. And it just depends on what needs to be managed and, what's the best way to do that. That's pretty much what I do on a daily basis as a director of development.
That's awesome. And how many projects are you typically working on at a time? Because I'm becoming aware that, if you're talking about a 3 to 4 year process, I can imagine, because everyone I interview says, like, my day to day is different. But given a 3 to 4 year project that spans so many different phases, I'm just imagining your month to month life varies because it'll be at a different stage. So I'm just curious, like, how many projects do you oversee at one time?
So we are a boutique company, as you mentioned. So we currently have 5 full-time employees, and we're a total about a team of 8. And with that bandwidth and that scope, our focus has been to have one project under development, one project in design and approval process, and then at the same time, be in the market research / acquisition phase, the beginning phase that I mentioned earlier, on another project. So kind of really be focused on 3 projects at the same time has been kind of our sweet spot. There has been times where, multiple opportunities have arisen at once. So that has, kind of driven the workload a little bit more. So there have been times when things have been a little bit slower. That's been kind of the scope. So we're trying to touch every phase of development kind of at the same time, just looking at different projects, if that makes sense.
That's great. Maybe I'd like to rewind a little bit and just learn about how you got here. Cause I know that you've had, you've had an internship, you've worked as an associate, and you've worked your way up to your current role. So maybe to start, what drove you from active duty to get into real estate? Is that something you thought of doing while you were on active duty, or what was your path like getting into this industry?
So You know, I got out of the Marine Corps back in 2014. I just needed to do something different. I had been a Marine. I was enlisted. I enlisted in the Marine Corps and went to boot camp 2 weeks out of high school. I was enlisted in the reserves for the first 5+ years of my career in the Marine Corps, and transitioned to being an officer. I did 4 years doing that, both in an infantry battalion, 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines, and then I was at 1st Marine Division in their headquarters. And then once I got out, I decided to go travel. I traveled for 6 months, and I did a big Asia and Europe trip to really kind of clear my head and get my priorities in order. At the same time, before I did that trip, I studied for the GRE because I wanted to go to graduate school. I figured that, you know, I have the GI Bill and maximizing my education before I really entered the workforce would be the best way to do it, because I understood that once I started a job and then you try to, you know, you start a family, you have a job, and then you try to backtrack into doing master's level work, it's extremely hard. So I decided to try to knock that out as soon as possible. So, you know, I got my GRE, got my application in, and during my trip, I was actually accepted to the University of Colorado at Boulder for their MBA program. You know, I really was focused on an MBA because I just felt it best fit my skill set that I developed as a logistics officer in the Marine Corps. You know, I love, like I mentioned earlier, managing people and projects. So that's what I wanted to do. And an MBA kind of equates to being a manager to me in my simplistic views at the time. Yeah, I pursued that. I love Colorado. I love the outdoors. I love kind of the culture out here. And I love Boulder as a great, great town, beautiful area. Really enjoyed it, really positive energy. So, you know, I wanted to be here and live here. So applied to the school, got accepted. And coming in, I came in with a completely open mind. I didn't have real estate at my forefront or really as a interest. I've always had a kind of side passion for building something. That has always been very rewarding for me and appealed to me. And I kind of stumbled upon the real estate program, which is definitely the premier MBA kind of track in University of Colorado in Boulder. And stumbled upon it, and I just saw a great fit. So I decided to pursue it as at least an internship and just, you know, kind of dabble in the industry, see if it's a fit for me. And if it's not, you know, I did my internship, I can do something else once I graduate, right? So I was extremely lucky to stumble upon Morgan Creek Ventures, you know, kind of a small shop, a mission-driven shop in Boulder, and all those things really appealed to me. So I was lucky enough to land an internship with them, and ever since then, it just fit, it just worked, and I enjoyed the work. I was passionate about what we were doing. I liked the team that I was working with, so therefore, you know, my boss was happy with my performance, so he offered me a full-time position after I graduated my MBA, and I graduated back in May of 2017, and I started working in June. And then in November, based on my performance, my boss decided to promote me from associate to director. And really, the difference was that I just took on more of a leadership supervisory role with that. And I've been doing that kind of ever since, and really, really enjoying it.
If someone listening wanted to get into real estate development, how essential is that MBA? It sounds like it played a role in helping you figure out what you wanted to do. Is that something that you think people need, or is that not as necessary?
I think it's extremely helpful. I think it's extremely helpful, especially in an MBA focus on real estate. There is, in the University of Colorado, there is a 1 year Master's of Science in real estate that is available for people. So that's one way, if you're really just focused and interested in real estate, you can do that and be out of school quicker and more have more focused curriculum. MBA, you know, is great because real estate development is first and foremost a business. That is really the major role of the developer in the development team, is the business aspect of it. You know, you have the architect, they're the design and creative people. You've got the construction guys that put, you know, they put the building together. It's more of a craftsman technical skill. But really, when it comes to the dollars and cents, when it comes to the timing, when it comes to the marketing and all these kind of core business things, it is really on the developer. So I think an MBA is invaluable. I mean, especially if you're trying to come in on more kind of senior position. You know, you could do it outside of undergrad, especially if you have more of a finance type degree. Finance is very central to real estate development. So you could do that, but, you know, I would recommend, you know, to really be set up for success and long-term growth within the industry, I think an MBA really sets you apart and is extremely helpful. I use the skills that I learned in my MBA, whether it was in real estate classes or non-real estate classes, every single day. So it's been an invaluable tool for me.
And if someone's listening and they are excited about what you're saying, they're excited about this career path of real estate development, are there any resources, and by that I mean maybe books or conferences or, I don't know, podcasts, TV shows, anything that they could check out today that would help them either figure out if this is what right for them or actually start getting ready for a career in real estate development?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when it comes to books, I highly recommend a book called The Real Estate Game. That is a very kind of concise, well-written book. It's a little dated in the content, in the numbers that they use, in the markets that they talk about, because it's from the 1990s. But at its core, it's a great kind of layman's explanation of real estate and real estate development. So I would highly recommend that book. I would also highly recommend people go to Urban Land Institute website. That is a very, very interesting kind of, it's not just for real estate development, it's also more focused on architecture and construction and real estate developers, kind of tying all together in the industry of the built environment to really understand those projects. There's a lot of case studies on that website that people can access without being members and read about different developments and see what they kind of are interested in and passionate about. And, you know, when it comes to podcasts, one podcast that I really like is Real Estate News for Investors with Kathy Fetke. You can find that, you know, if you have an iPhone and you go to the podcast app, you can easily find it. I really, really like that podcast. It really kind of helps me understand current events and how they impact the industry and where there could be opportunities and where there could be red flags. So I would definitely highly recommend that as well.
That's great. I'm just writing that down. For listeners, as always, at beyondtheuniform.io and the show notes for Chris's episode, you'll find I'll have The Real Estate Game, Urban Land Institute, The Real Estate News for Investors. I'll have links to all of those just to make your life easier. But that's great, Chris. I think that those are what I like about that is that listeners now have a book, a podcast, and a website to check out, and I think that's good formats, especially those case studies on the Urban Land Institute sound interesting, because I know that back, you know, a long time ago when I was trying to figure out what to do, it was helpful to read these case studies and get a sense for what people were doing and what the situations were like that people encounter. You had also mentioned that you use a lot of Excel on the job, and it's great because it sounds like that at Morgan Creek that you guys were training your associates and you're helping them learn these skills. Have you found any other resource that you would recommend to people if they want to try to buff up their Excel skills? Because that seems like a relevant skill set for real estate, for finance, for consulting, for so many different industries. Do you know of any other resources to help them with Excel in particular?
Well, there are a lot of online practice that people can take. Urban Land Institute, as a matter of fact, actually offers these kind of webinar type courses that people can take. There are a lot of just online videos that people can take to watch and kind of do as you see. That tends to really kind of help with Excel for me personally. I need to get hands-on and actually put in the formulas and see what it does inside a model. But, you know, a lot of these things are very much available for free online when it comes to really just understanding the basic concepts of real estate business modeling. So people can definitely access that. You know, the webinars when it comes to like Urban Land Institute and other kind of real estate focused websites and organizations, they do cost money. So that's something to keep in mind. Also, there are, you know, community college classes, and also, you know, universities have continuing education courses where you can take a class in finance and use the GI Bill to pay for it. You have to talk to that university and figure out the details there. But, you know, those are great skills to have. It's really important. It's very important for people to be proficient with Excel. Coming out of the military, I was not. I was not proficient with Excel. I was, even as a logistics officer, which for my MOS, you use Excel and PowerPoint more than others, but I still compare to my MBA classmates who are coming out of the private sector, I was a complete rookie. And it took a lot of work. It took a lot of hands-on rolling up my sleeves and building the model and conceptualizing it and understanding it for me to get to the level that I'm at now. So, but that is one of the most valuable skills, because especially if you want to lead people and manage things, well, Excel is the base thing that we use to build a business model for a project. And once you build that model, you understand everything that's really going on with that project. It's the best way to do that. And then from there, you can manage it, because based on really the numbers, which is money is the lifeblood of business, you see this, you doing this decision has this second and third order effect. So should you make that decision or not? And that is, you know, the core of management, of making decisions and doing that in an informed way. So for anyone really interested in real estate project management, those things, they really need to learn Excel. It's a very valuable skill.
I echo what you're saying. I'm just thinking when I was on the USS Alaska, I was like the Excel guru, and in retrospect, it was such a joke because I didn't know anything. I think I figured out how to make a cell change color based on what I inputted into it, and that made me like this Excel god. And then in business school, I took a beast of a class, financial modeling, and it was just unreal. And that was like, you know, some days were like 10 hours a day working on these models, and you learn all of these shortcuts, you learn all these like these incredible things that you can use. But it's one of the things I'm appreciating about what you're saying is that I just think that Excel is a tool that is used in so many different careers, even in entrepreneurship. The amount of time I spend on Excel is absurd. And so I like what you're saying is like investing that time. And I think it's an exciting time to be leaving the military, in that there are so many online and often free resources to help you learn all of these things. So that's an advantage as well. One thing that I wanted to ask about, Chris, is that you had talked about, like, you went to a boutique real estate development company, and I can imagine there's a lot of advantages there in terms of the intimacy of the group and the learning opportunities and the opportunities for upward mobility. And I'm just kind of curious, could you lay the stage as well? Like, are there common players on the opposite extreme? Are there like real estate development firms that are much bigger if you know, someone wanted to start a search with maybe a nationwide type company?
Absolutely. I mean, there are enormous real estate development companies that are nationwide, even worldwide, that people can apply to. It is, you know, we are on the low end of the when it comes to size compared to other companies. But, you know, it's a low end, but also it's a very common end. There's a lot of kind of smaller shops that are between 4 to 10 people. That is very common. But then there's companies that are 30, 50 plus people spread over multiple offices around the country. And, you know, there's different there's different benefits and negatives to both approaches. You know, I chose a small shop because I get to touch every aspect of real estate, you know, beyond the things that I mentioned to you that I really kind of focus in on a daily basis. I see the marketing, I see the leasing, I see the construction, I see the finance, you know, every aspect of the business, the negotiations, how big that is, you know, in the business world to just negotiate and communicate with people, how you're communicating them, all these things. I get to touch all of that. And I did it as an associate and now as a director even more. So it's huge value there because, you know, I'm brand new to the career ultimately. You know, and as much as I can soak up in the first few years, the better, in my opinion. But, you know, maybe the negative for some people are that, you know, I'm becoming more of a jack of all trades, but am I completely mastering one aspect? Well, maybe not. But I am kind of more geared towards being a manager who works with technical experts. That's kind of my focus. Yep. If you want to be a technical expert on something, you know, be it, hey, you want to be a complete guru analyst when it comes to, you know, Excel and modeling and being really, really, really proficient on that, a big firm could be a better fit because a big firm, they look at a ton of projects. A lot of opportunities, a ton of projects, you're constantly analyzing, you're modeling, you're very hands-on with that. And, you know, you get just technically more proficient, in my opinion. But at the same time, that's what you're doing. If you're in the finance department, you're going to do the finance stuff. And you're going to be very much siloed, especially in the beginning as a kind of a junior member, from the other aspects of real estate, of the business. You're just going to be siloed from that, and you're just not going to get to experience as much as you do in a smaller shop. So it just kind of depends on what a person likes. If you enjoy being in a larger organization, like, you know, your service that you were in the military and you enjoy that, you know, there's large companies that are more nationwide and bigger scope that you can focus in on. If you like being more intimate with a small team, you know, that is also helpful. And of course, culture is different. Culture is different between a bigger, more corporate structure type company and a smaller entrepreneurial company. So, you know, I think for people that are interested in the industry, there are all kinds of options of where you can best fit in based on your personality and interests. It's a huge industry. You know, real estate, the development is just part of it. There's property management. There is being a broker. There are, you know, the accounting aspect of it is huge. Banks, you know, there's whole branches within banks that are focused on real estate lending and commercial lending. So working in that aspect of the industry could be attractive to some people. You know, we're just one arm of it. So it's a huge industry, and there's so many different opportunities.
That's great. I love your breaking down the different aspects of that because, you know, it's honestly a industry I'm less familiar with. And as you kind of rattle off these things, you know, the property management aspect, the brokerage aspect, the accounting, the commercial lending, I can imagine there's so many different pieces to the puzzle. And I like what you said there, which is, I'm imagining in a more small shop and boutique shop, and I think this probably applies to every industry. If you're in a small shop or a startup, or in your case, this boutique residential or a real estate development company, you get exposure to all the different aspects of the company and what goes into it, and you become perhaps more of a generalist, but you get wide exposure to everything that goes into making the sausage. Versus if you're at that larger organization, you start to specialize a lot more, and you start to take a little piece of something, but become really good at it. And I think that that's a good question for someone to ask themselves, whether they're looking at real estate development or any industry, is, you know, do I want to be more of a generalist? Do I want to be more of a, you know, really specific aspect? But I'm guessing that your path, you know, going to a boutique shop, because you're getting exposure to all the different aspects, that sets you up that eventually if you wanted to do this on your own, like you've got all the pieces. Is that kind of accurate that the boutique gives you that exposure?
Absolutely. I would absolutely say that. I mean, if people are thinking about becoming eventually, you know, their business owners, this is a great, great place to be. Yep. Great place to be. But also, you know, I hope people kind of keep in mind that, you know, as I mentioned, that a project lasts 4 years. You know, real estate, especially on the development side, it takes time. Things take time. So, you know, whether you start in a big company for the first few years and develop that fundamental skill set, and then on a second leg, you end up going to a boutique shop in a more kind of senior position, then that's fine, you know, as you're growing. And then my boss, he worked for other people for 14 years before he opened up his own company, because it takes time to get the experience and the know-how and the network in order to be effective as your own entity. So therefore, you know, just because you start at a boutique shop doesn't mean you're not going to have your company later on down the road as you're kind of building your resume. I think over time, the more exposure you can get to different facets of the industries and kind of different viewpoints, be it, you know, bigger picture in a big company or right down here where I'm a tenant in a project. So I'm hands-on, it's very intimate. You know, you see both aspects. I think it sets you up to be successful as having your own company.
Yep, that's great. Well, I always like to keep the last question open-ended, and that's, you know, is there anything that we haven't talked about today that you want to make sure that you share with listeners before we wrap up?
I mean, I would say, as you're getting out of the military, really look yourself in the mirror and be honest with yourself of what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and what you're really fundamentally passionate about. And use that to kind of guide you in your next steps of what you want to do. I would also advocate, I'm a big advocate of education, and military members, especially in this day and age, have a massive advantage on their civilian peers in that they are able to go to school for free and actually get a stipend, you know, like a salary while you're going to school. So for you not to take advantage of that opportunity, I think is very foolish, especially in the long term. And taking advantage of that education right out the gate is something I would highly recommend. It's worked out really well for me. And having that education kind of geared to what I realized were my strengths and my passions really set me up for success. And, you know, I gear myself towards an industry that, you know, I found interesting and dynamic enough to kind of keep me engaged and happy has been great. But yeah, I mean, the transition process has been, you know, really, really interesting. Something that I did right out of active duty, actually, is I joined the reserves. And I was still a part-time Marine officer. You know, I actually ended up being a company commander. I led 170 Marines 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. And that was actually a great transition point for me from going to the Marine Corps being my life to it not. It was a kind of a good bridge to just do a few years in the reserves while I was getting all my other things in order. And with the reserves, there was also opportunities to go on active duty and deploy. If that's kind of where a person is in life and they in uniform, they have that kind of flexible opportunity with the reserves to do that. So that's something that, you know, a lot of people leave active duty with kind of a sour taste in their mouth for the military. And they're like, hey, I'm never – you know, getting a haircut or putting on a uniform again. It's like, hey, you know, I would advise people to kind of slow it down, really kind of think about it in a sober way, and give the reserves a hard look, because that has been another thing that I did as part of my transition that ultimately I found very beneficial. So I would say, you asked for one thing, but I kind of gave you three things. I would say education, I would say knowing yourself, and I would say look at the reserves as a good bridge from active duty to civilian life.
That's great. I mean, I love the self-knowledge piece. I think that that's a recurring theme in these interviews, is the extent to which a member on active duty or a veteran can really, I love how you said that, really be honest about their strengths and weaknesses, really take a hard look about the types of activities they enjoyed in the military, the types of groups that they liked working with, if they liked individual projects or, you know, larger groups, and just really being honest about what energizes them. I think that's really critical. And I also really appreciate the thought that, you know, using that GI Bill, if you have that, such a great resource. But the point on the reserves is really incredible. I know that when I got out, my thought was like, I just want to have every spare second to devote to my civilian career. I don't want these obligations. But one of the things I've learned in the interviews I've done and people talking about the reserves is that it has a lot of advantages, namely that you have some income that can allow you to take a bigger risk. It can allow you to take a bigger pay cut to try to transition or to really invest in something new. And like you said, it can kind of help you with that identity piece and help you with having others around you, because it can be a pretty stark transition from going to active duty to civilian life, of having a tight-knit family around you and then being completely off on your own. And so the reserves can also help you maintain some of those connections and that sense of purpose and that sense of identity. And I've also had people on the show talk about the network connections that they form through the reserves. They're meeting with a bunch of other people where they're on reserves every, you know, once a month, and they're able to talk about what they're doing. And oftentimes that leads to other business opportunities. So I appreciate the expansion on those final points, because I think that you raised three really meaty topics for people to think about, regardless of what their career path is going to be. So, Chris, thank you so much for joining me today, and thank you for all the advice you gave.
Thanks, Justin. Really appreciate you having me on.
Surface. All right. Well, thank you for listening. I have really enjoyed these interviews of looking at a variety of aspects of real estate. I'm trying to get a couple different people on, so stay tuned. There, as Chris pointed out, there is property management, brokerage, accounting, banks. There's so many different aspects to real estate. I'll try to get each of those pieces on the show to help you really drill down on which aspect might interest you as a veteran. As always, if you have feedback, please add a comment in the show notes or email me at justin@beyondtheuniform.io. And I will be back next week on this Monday and Thursday cadence that we're currently using, with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career. Take care.